Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Decades of Decadence, How Our Spoiled Elites Blew America's Inheritance of Liberty, Security, and Prosperity is Senator Marco Rubio's argument that the United States is experiencing a long, self-inflicted decline driven less by ordinary citizens than by a complacent, insulated leadership class. Rubio frames decadence as a loss of civic seriousness. Institutions that once rewarded competence and responsibility now often reward status, spectacle, and short-term gain. He connects cultural drift, policy failures, and economic fragility into a single diagnosis of national stagnation. Rather than treating problems as isolated headlines, the book presents them as symptoms of a broader elite consensus that has tolerated weakened borders, hollowed out industrial capacity, and eroded faith in shared national purpose. Rubio also stresses that liberty and prosperity are not automatic inheritances. They depend on durable families, strong communities, and a government willing to defend national interests. The book aims to provoke a reset toward competence, sovereignty, and renewed civic virtue. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, decadence as stagnation in culture and institutions. A central theme is that decadence is not only moral excess, but a broader condition of drift and stagnation. Rubio portrays a society that is materially advanced, yet increasingly unable to translate wealth and technology into stronger families, healthier communities, or more trustworthy institutions. In this view, politics becomes performative, media becomes sensational, and public debate becomes less about solving problems than about signaling affiliation. Institutions that once served as ladders of opportunity, such as schools, professional guilds, and civic organizations, are described as losing credibility because they appear captured by narrow interests or ideological fashions. Rubio argues that when elites treat the nation as stable enough to coast, serious long-term tasks get postponed. Maintaining infrastructure, preparing for emerging threats, cultivating social cohesion, and sustaining a culture of responsibility. The result is a paradox of comfort and fragility, where people feel anxious despite living in an affluent era. By defining decadence as a loss of seriousness, the book sets up a framework that links personal choices, cultural norms, and institutional incentives to national strength. The underlying message is that renewal starts when leaders and citizens reject drift and recover habits of duty, competence, and self-restraint. Secondly, elite overconfidence and the broken promise of stewardship, Rubio's critique focuses on a class of decision-makers across politics, finance, academia, and media who, in his telling, benefited from America's inherited strength while neglecting their duty to preserve it. He describes elite attitudes as marked by insulation from consequences, bad predictions, failed policies, and cultural experiments often impose costs on working families while the most influential actors retain prestige and security. The book emphasizes how this dynamic corrodes trust, because citizens observe that rules and norms apply differently depending on social position. Rubio also argues that elite ideology can become detached from lived reality, prioritizing fashionable abstractions over concrete outcomes such as safe neighborhoods, affordable energy, stable employment, and national unity. Stewardship, as he frames it, means maintaining the institutions and moral foundations that allow liberty to endure, not merely managing quarterly metrics or winning news cycles. When elites chase status and novelty, they may treat national traditions as obstacles rather than resources. Rubio's broader point is that legitimacy in a republic depends on leadership that is accountable and oriented toward the common good. Without that, polarization grows and the capacity to undertake shared projects declines. Thirdly, economic hollowing and the loss of productive capacity, the book links decadence to an economy that, while innovative in some sectors, has become less anchored in broad-based production. Rubio highlights concerns commonly associated with globalization and financialization, supply chains that prioritize efficiency over resilience, communities disrupted by industrial decline, and an economy that can reward speculation more than creating tangible value. He argues that when a nation loses manufacturing strength and strategic industries, it becomes vulnerable to shocks and dependent on rivals for critical goods. This is not presented purely as an economic issue, but as a social and political one, because stable work supports family formation, civic participation, and local institutions. Rubio frames the promise of prosperity as something that should be widely shared through dignified employment rather than concentrated in a few metropolitan hubs. He also stresses that public policy shapes incentives, from trade rules to education priorities to tax structures, and that decades of choices have privileged certain professional classes while leaving many workers with fewer pathways to upward mobility. The topic ultimately asks readers to reconsider what a healthy economy is for, not just maximizing consumption, but sustaining national independence, social stability, and meaningful opportunity. Fourthly, national security, sovereignty, and the costs of complacency. Rubio argues that a decadent society underestimates threats and assumes peace and security are permanent. He frames national security as inseparable from cultural confidence and industrial capability. A nation that cannot produce essential goods, defend borders effectively, or maintain internal cohesion becomes easier to pressure from abroad. The book emphasizes that geopolitical rivals exploit divisions, technological dependence, and weak resolve. Rubio also critiques a tendency to treat sovereignty as outdated, suggesting instead that democratic self-government requires control over key decisions, border enforcement, strategic technologies, energy policy, and defense readiness. Complacency, in this account, shows up in delayed modernization, fragmented strategy, and the belief that international systems will automatically restrain aggressive actors. The argument is not merely hawkish, it is about seriousness and preparedness, including the willingness to bear costs today to avoid higher costs later. Rubio's theme is that liberty has a security component. Citizens cannot freely pursue their lives if institutions cannot protect them from external coercion or internal disorder. Rebuilding security, therefore, involves both material investments and a renewed commitment to national solidarity and shared obligations. Lastly, renewal through civic virtue, family strength, and institutional reform, alongside diagnosis, Rubio points toward renewal grounded in character, community, and reform-minded governance. He emphasizes civic virtue as a practical necessity. Self-government works when citizens practice responsibility, restraint, and concern for the common good, and when leaders model those traits. The book underscores the role of families and local communities as foundational institutions that transmit norms, provide stability, and buffer people from economic and cultural shocks. From this perspective, cultural health and policy outcomes reinforce each other because communities thrive when policy supports work, education that forms citizens, and institutions that reward competence. Rubio also advocates a more realistic approach to national interest, suggesting reforms that strengthen productive capacity, protect strategic sectors, and realign incentives so that the economy serves long-term resilience rather than short-term extraction. The renewal theme is framed as a call to replace status-driven leadership with stewardship. Leaders who take responsibility for results and who respect the inherited foundations of American liberty. The book's solution set is therefore both moral and structural, urging readers to see national revival as achievable when seriousness returns to public life and when institutions are rebuilt to serve ordinary citizens. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a big-picture diagnosis of American decline from a contemporary conservative perspective, including people interested in political theory, national security, economic resilience, and the cultural foundations of self-government. It will also appeal to those frustrated by institutions that feel detached from everyday realities and who want a coherent narrative that links culture, policy, and power. The potential benefit is clarity. The book offers a framework for interpreting scattered crises as connected symptoms of complacency, weakened stewardship, and eroded civic virtue. That lens can help readers think more concretely about what they want from leaders and what duties citizens still have in a republic. Compared to many similar political books that focus narrowly on a single issue, Rubio attempts a wider synthesis, combining arguments about economics, sovereignty, and culture into one story about national seriousness. It is also worth buying if you want an insider politician's case for why elite incentives matter and why renewal requires both reform and personal responsibility. Even readers who disagree can use it as a structured point of engagement with arguments shaping current debates. If you would like to support Marco Rubio, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.